Morning.
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 God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I want to first express my thanks for having this opportunity to come before you and preach God's word. And as I always have joy when I have the opportunity to share God's word, because and as a preacher, you know, sometimes you get used to speaking, and that's why I always have to make sure when I make my sermons, I write them completely out, because I know if I just go off the cuff, then my sermons might end up being about an hour, 2 hours long. You know, because at first I was wondering, you know, how Paul said he could preach until midnight. And now, as I've been preaching after a while, I realize how it's very impossible for you to do so. this morning, I want to take an opportunity to look at Joshua chapter 1 and look at verses 1 through 9. The last time I spoke here, we looked at Isaiah 41, and we talked about fear and taking comfort in the fact that God is with us. Today, I want to take time to look at how we can overcome the fears that may be holding us back. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, it reads, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This book is named after Israel's new leader, Joshua. Moses, who had led them out of Egypt and through the wilderness, was now dead. You have to understand, at this time, the anxieties were kind of running high for them. They had a lot of things that may have made them a little fearful for a variety of reasons. Firstly, Moses was the only one that they turned to for guidance. He was the one that they sought to answer their questions. I mean, he had to make sure that later on he established the elders for them to answer questions to. But even when that was the case, he still was the one that people turned to look for guidance. He was the one that led them through the Red Sea. He was the one that had to raise, that God had used to raise his arm so that the Israelites could have victory against the Amalekites. And even though Joshua was there through most of that, Moses was still the one that the people looked to, and now he was gone. Secondly, they were about to go into the land that they were promised. And these lands are still occupied, which means that these people who have very little battle experience are going to have to take the land for themselves. People who are sheep herders and farmers, for them this is relatively and literally new territory. They were told not to be afraid, but for many of them the question still remained, how do they go from having fear to having faith? How do they confidently face the challenges that would surely make them turn back and back from all that God had waiting for them in the land? It is clear that one of the key ingredients in overcoming fear is having courage. God gives Joshua and the people a call to courage here. Four times in this chapter alone, in the New King James Version, he says, be strong and have good courage. Or he simply says, be courageous, depending on what translation you're using. But how do you define courage? Does it mean dismissing any threat of danger or being so bold that nothing fazes you? Eddie Rickenbacker once wrote, courage is doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared. Thomas Kempis, the author of The Imitation of Christ, once said, there is one thing that keeps many from zealously improving their lives. That is dread of the difficulty, the toil of battle. Certainly, they who try bravely to overcome the most difficult and unpleasant obstacles far outstrip others in the pursuit of virtue. The question sometimes we have to ask ourselves sometimes is, do you have courage? Do you have the boldness to stand before a giant like David did? Or do you liken yourself to the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz? Many of us today don't face the physical threats that were faced in the first century or even before, but most of us still face situations that stifle our progress because we are held back because of fear, especially in areas that really matter in our lives. Courage is necessary to move us beyond where we are so that we can get to where we're going. Joshua 1 helps us to see that courage can be developed when you have a mission. If you expect to achieve anything worthwhile in life, it is necessary to have purpose, to have direction, to know where it is that you're going. If you're just wandering aimlessly, then it is a very common thing to be very fearful. Verses 1 through 5 makes it very clear that God has an assignment, not just for Joshua and leading the nation, but they themselves are tasked with being the ones who go in and take the land that God has decided to give them. God is trying to accomplish great things through these people. Not just them, but he is also trying to accomplish great things through us today. Both the Israelites back then and those of us who serve him today are meant to be an example to the world. And he knows that in and of ourselves, we are not worthy. But with him, we can do what we need to do. Through him, we are made worthy to be his servants. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He said that we were created for good works. God has no interest in those who would just sit on the sidelines and just twiddle their thumbs. He could do all that needs to be done here in this world by himself, but he has chosen to give us the task of assisting him in helping to save souls. he could have some other military group come along here for the nation of Israel and take out these occupying nations in the land. But he has given them this task. He put the work in the hands of the very people he was trying to bless. God knows that in order for us to become the people that we need to be those people who are showing courage through carrying out his will here in this world. All throughout the time between Egypt and Canaan, God was preparing them for this very moment. Question I ask is, what are some of the things that God has prepared you to do today? You see, when I mentioned earlier about the battle that they had with the Amalekites, and we know the fact that that wasn't the last time the nation of Israel had to go to battle. But that one instance was one of the things that helped them to realize that they did not have to be afraid when they fought others in battle. And through that, they were able to build for themselves, I wouldn't say a working military group, but they were able to successfully, each time they went into battle, to carry out the work of fighting the battle. How are you using the skills that God has given you today? The abilities and the character that God has developed in you. We may not all have the same gifts and abilities, but we can use the gifts that we have been given to bring glory and honor to God and his church. Number two, courage is also developed when we see God working in our lives. In verse 5, he said, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." This is a similar statement that he made to a promise that he made to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 24. And although God had given them, had them go into the land to claim it, make no mistake, it was God who was the one who gave them the victory. Despite not having a traditional military presence, they were assured of their success. You know, I saw this video on YouTube where an engineer had created this dartboard that he put sensors on it and servos and motors, and so that he made sure that the dartboard would always give him a bullseye. And so every time he threw the dart, no matter where he threw the dart, the board would move, adjust to where he was throwing the dart, and it would make sure that he had a bullseye. Now, could you imagine how so much success you could have when the target is moved to make sure that you always have success? And this is essentially what it is that we see when God is working with his people, that he is the one that is working towards making sure that we have the success for the obstacles that we face. You know, even though we're not always the most skillful in the things that we do, you know, we're not always the ones who have the most ability in being able to accomplish certain things. I don't know how many jobs I've had where God has blessed me to get the job when somebody else had more skill or more education, that they had been there longer in the company. I had, when I was working with Bally's, I moved from the warehouse to eventually getting into an engineering position. And I took pride in that, but it was not me that got it. I didn't have the education. I didn't have the 20 years of experience. But I was able to work up through the company because God was working with me, moving things in my for my benefit. There was a lot of times, even though I messed up and all the cards seemed to be stacked against me, that God still made sure that I came out on top. In the 10th chapter of Joshua, verse 42, it says, "It was God who fought for Israel." And that's the point that Paul was trying to make in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, when he said, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You can have courage to face anything this world can throw your way when you know that you have God on your side. Also, courage can be developed through obedience. In verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." You know, Arabian horses go through very rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. The trainers require absolute obedience from the horses. And they test them to see if they have have been completely trained in the right way. The final test is almost beyond the endurance of any living thing. The trainers force the horses to do without water for many days. Then he turns them loose, and of course they start running toward the water. But just as they get to the edge, ready to plunge in and drink, the trainer blows his whistle. The horses, who have been completely trained and who have learned perfect obedience, stop. They turn around and come pacing back to the trainer. They stand there quivering, wanting water, but they wait in perfect obedience. When the trainer is sure that he has their obedience, he gives them a signal to go back and to drink. Now, this may seem to be severe, but when you are in the trackless desert of Arabia and your life is entrusted to a horse, you had better have a well-trained, obedient horse. Understand and realize that God really wants us to obey, not because He puts us through the situations that we go through, and he wants us to obey, not because it's just something that he wants, but because he knows that when we go through the things that we have to go, when we are obedient to him, those times are most necessary for us to follow his instruction. Because it's for our benefit that we do what he commands us to do. And we have to understand that sometimes, yes, it is scary to obey God's word. It's sometimes scary to be able to stand up to people and to say what needs to be said. It's sometimes scary to try and make sure your family, to introduce your family to God's word and to try and get them to do the right thing. But because God wants to work in us great things, we have to make sure that we are putting ourselves in his control, because he knows what is best. And he is trying to work out something a lot greater than the momentary satisfaction of us giving into our temptations. We must accept God's training and obey him. See, oftentimes we want to be the ones who directs our lives. And it's very clear that God respects our freedom to choose, but the very reason why we gain courage when we obey is that we know that and understand he has our best interest at heart. The last part of that verse, he says that you may prosper wherever you go. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." God is telling them that the key, or rather the guarantee of your success, hinders on you making sure that his word is woven into who you are. Yes, there will be times when you want to pull your hair out because of the things that you're going through. But in the end, when you are faithful, you will be able to handle anything that comes your way. He says in verse 8 that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall observe to do according to all that is written in it. Some of us know all the statistics of our favorite sports teams better than we know God's word. Some of us know every character and every single detail of every plot of our favorite TV shows more than we know our scriptures. Realistically, though, you have to ask yourself, how much time do you spend each day studying God's word? How much time have you separated to make sure that God's word is a part of who you are? When I first became a Christian, I was afraid to talk to people about the Bible because I really didn't know too much. And I didn't want to say something that I shouldn't say. I didn't want to lead anybody astray. But the more I spent in study, the more I gained the courage to talk to people and talk in front of people. And so that eventually got me to a point where I can come before God's people and preach his word. Yes, God wants you to know his word so that you can faithfully obey him, but he wants more than that. He wants you to know his word so that you can help other people to come to know who God is and the wonderful blessings that he has in their lives. He wants you to be of service to other people who need his word too. Verse 9 says that this is not a suggestion. This is not a simple platitude, but a command. It is clear that the moral aspects of God's word are easier to adhere to. And not everybody is able to effectively do all that they can do, but it's not exactly easy to keep the moral aspects of the law. But it is easier sometimes to do that rather than the things that we should be doing. Because when we take time to think about it, in most cases, when we look at God's word, it tells us what we should not be doing. Don't lust. Don't steal. Don't commit a murder. Don't do these things. But when comes time for us to do certain things, that's where it can get a little bit more trickier, because we have to be mindful of not just not doing certain things, but making sure we add into our schedule of what we do, make sure we add into being faithful to God. That means studying his word. That means taking time to share his word. That means taking time to do good works here in this world. Because it's easy to fall into old habits. At times, it's easy to allow the flesh to dictate what we do or don't do. I don't know how many times I have done something I didn't do something that I know I needed to be done. When I just put things off and keep saying, well, I'll get to that later, I feel comfortable doing that at another time. And sometimes you keep putting things off and the end result is you're not doing what you should have been doing in the first place. You know, I mean, sometimes it's just small things, but oftentimes we are afraid to take certain actions because we're afraid of the what blowback we might get. You know, when we're talking to somebody, trying to share God's word, we're afraid somebody might, you know, be offended by what we say. But it's important that we don't let our physical bodies decide how much we grow spiritually. We are called to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. He finishes the verse saying, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God has already declared he will be with you. You can find strength and courage you need through his word to perform all that he has asked for us to do here in this world and to face anything that we need to face here in this world. The question is, are you as committed to God as he is committed to you? Do you have the courage to face what needs to be faced here in this world, whether it's the opinions of others or whether it may be physical danger from doing his will? Do you have what it takes to fall on his word, to trust that he will be there for you and help you through every circumstance? This morning, it's important for us to do what we can to make sure that God's word is on our lips and meditated upon daily and on a regular basis so that we can develop within us the strength and the courage to stand up and say, thus says the Lord. This morning, whatever your needs are, let them be known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.